The Lord's not finished.
Amen.
We're going to get into the Word here for a little bit, and the Lord's not finished ministering. Before we move from this time, did anybody receive a word of knowledge or something, or just something you kind of felt like you should have released it and you didn't? Before I get into the message today, did you have something?
Can I just stand here and say it?
Well, because of the recording, we need you to use the mic. Can you get that to her, Marv? And,
I just want to say that as they were mentioning about shame, Jesus taking our shame away, and then Jesus knows my name or calls my name. When I was 11 years old, Jesus called my name. And when he called my name, all of the shame that was on me fell off of me. And the shame had to do with what I was carrying that was not mine. Mm-hmm. It was not my responsibility. It was what my parents did. But I received the shame. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage anyone who has received shame from their past that they had nothing to do with, especially related to their family. Jesus calls you by name,
yes.
And he wants to release any shame from your past, especially that had to do with the sin of your father and mother. So receive it today.
Yes.
It's wonderful when that happens. God's light and presence comes in right away. And whatever that shame that was over you is lifted. So I just pray that today in the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To not put anybody on the spot, let's all just close our eyes right now and just receive. Just receive that right now. Lord, I pray that the power of your voice be released over every heart today. Your voice that calls our name, that says, I have chosen you.
Yes.
Let us stay in that mode for a moment and think of this. Jesus bore your shame.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
He bore that iniquity, that sin. He bore it. Nothing is more shameful than the suffering he suffered at crucifixion.
Yes.
Nothing is more embarrassing and shameful and caused men to turn away than what Jesus did for you and me. Even the Father turned away for a time. He took that rejection. And the Lord says today, no more shame. Amen? No more shame. And the Father says, I don't turn away from you now. I look at you through the blood and sacrifice of my Son. And I call you my child. And I call you righteous and holy. Thank you, Jesus. We just command the foul spirits
yes.
of lying and shame
yes.
out of here.
Amen.
Out of this very place
out.
Today.
Yes.
In the hearts and lives of every family here today. In Jesus'
yes.
mighty name. Be gone.
Yes.
Be gone.
Be gone.
Say it. Be gone.
Be gone.
Behind me, Satan.
Behind
Hallelujah.
Me, Satan.
Amen.
Be gone. Yes.
Some may think that that's strange, but then you have to take that up with Jesus because he did it.
Amen.
One time Peter was allowing the enemy to speak through him, and he turned around and he just said, get behind me, Satan. Everybody said he called Peter Satan. No, he was speaking to a spirit.
That's right.
I mean, he was speaking to a demonic spirit. He wasn't speaking to Peter.
No.
Peter was just a vessel.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. I've been set free of stuff, and it wasn't me that God was going after. He was going after the foul spirit that was oppressing me.
That's right.
Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say, for such a time as this. Amen? Because,
Amen.
I mean, you know, this is what it's all about. I can't do anything about yesterday, but I can do everything about what I do today for the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen? So we're going to rejoice and be glad in it today. Amen. I want to share with you a couple of insights today. I'm going to be very honest with you. Not that I wouldn't be honest with you. This is Honest Sunday. No. The Lord changed directions on me yesterday afternoon. And so I'm going to obey the Lord and share this with you. Are you ready? I feel like it's prophetic in regards to where we are and where the Lord's leading us. So when I say we, I speak to the whole remnant bride throughout the earth. I really do. I feel like the Lord speaks when His Spirit is speaking. He's speaking the same to many of us in the same situations. I want to talk to you. If you want to turn, you can turn to the book of Esther. But we read in the book of Esther that we all know that Esther found favor and she was chosen to be queen, right?
Yeah.
And at about that same time, Haman is promoted to having great authority over all the princes who were in the land and who were with him. And all of the king's servants, when they would pass through the king's gate, Haman would require of them to bow down before him and pay homage. He was a little stuck on himself. I know you've never been around anybody like that, right? But the only one that wouldn't do it was Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't do it. And of course, we know this enraged Haman against Mordecai. Haman deceives the king into believing that the Jews were not going to be a people to be loyal to his kingdom or obey its laws. And it would not be in the king's best interest for the Jews to be in the land. And it wasn't just drive them out, but Haman passed a decree, convinced the king, basically deceived the king, to do this. And how many of you know, when the king seals a decree, it's a done deal. Yeah. And that was the weightiness of this, when a king does that. So Haman decreed that the Jews would be destroyed, not just driven out, but destroyed. And the kingdom would handsomely pay anyone who would assist in making this happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he had his mercenaries, you got what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to carry out the king's business. Now, we know that Haman's plot to wipe out the Jews was made known to Mordecai, who's not a friend of Haman's anyway. But Mordecai sends word to Queen Esther to plead before the king on behalf of her people. As we know, Esther was a Jew. But no one could approach the king unless they were summoned. You just didn't go walk into the king, hey, you got a moment?
Right.
You didn't text him? Are y'all with me? So Esther gives her reply back to Mordecai according to that understanding. And I want to read from Esther 4, verse 10. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. Here's what she said. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king to the inner court who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death. Unless the king, get this, holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to the king for these 30 days. And they related Esther's words to Mordecai. And then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, everybody say at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. And you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty. And if some of you have, like the King James, it says, have not come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Everybody say, for such a time as this. And it's because of Mordecai's prophetic exhortation, Esther actually responds in faith. And she believed that she was chosen and placed by God. See, when you're chosen, you're also appointed. Y'all with me? If He chose you, He appointed you for such a time as this. She did ask that all the Jews throughout the land would assemble and pray and fast with her for 3 days before she went to approach the king. Some of you have had to do that before. You got to do something bold, and I think I'll pray and fast a while before I do it.
Hallelujah.
But this was life or death. This is either going to go well or really badly. Amen? And then she went before the king, and as we know the story, he extended the golden scepter to her. And let me just say this. When that was extended to you by a king in most kingdoms, it represented the authority of the king, but it also represented the favor of the king. Mm-hmm. It was grace. It's a gracious thing. So she had the grace. In other words, that's better than off with her head.
Yeah.
Right? To extend grace. But there's more than that. But there's more. And that scepter represents authority. And if you take hold of the scepter, then you can ask of the king what you wish. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And so you can see how grace and authority works together. She was standing in the king's presence. She was able to ask what she wanted in the king's name. And that means it'll have the king's backing. Mm-hmm. Now, hang on to that, because I want to share with you that in a minute from a verse that you're very familiar with in the New Testament. But I believe the story of Esther is always, not just now, it's always a prophetic challenge to us as the people of God, for every generation and for every time and for every season, as to what we'll do in our time. Amen? What will we do in this time, for a time such as this? And I believe, in all honesty, with all we've seen happen around the country and in the nation and in churches and apostasy and so many things that have happened, you can tend to get a kind of a hopelessness. Kind of like, well, why bother? Right? It's kind of like, I haven't heard any good news in a while. But the thing is, you and I are to be the declarers of good news.
That's right.
I don't have to get good news, heaven help me, from a news outlet. Because those are not good news outlets. You do know that, right? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
This generation is in crisis. Would you agree?
Amen.
Our generation is in crisis, no doubt about it. And they're really without hope except for Jesus. Would you agree?
Amen.
Except for Jesus. And frankly, if we really understand that, what did Jesus say? I am in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
So if we, the people who carry the hope, the glory, don't release it and bring it to people, then it continues the downward spiral that we're on. Esther touched the top of that scepter, which was her, again, receiving the favor from the king that he had extended to her. And then the king asked her what her request was. And you remember what he said? He said, even up until half of the kingdom is yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, okay, I'll take half the kingdom. You know, and of course, she was on a much higher mandate from God at this point to save the Jewish people. But I'm going to take a little brief detour. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Do you remember when the son who went and squandered his inheritance came home, his father gloriously restored him, right?
Yeah.
Put a robe on. Oh, we know all of that. We were just singing it. Put a robe on my back, ring on my finger, and all that. Restored as a son. Not as a slave, but as a son. Hallelujah. For the grace of God.
Amen.
But the older son was having trouble with it. I never left you. I've always been here. I've always served you. Be careful to act like that when you see a prodigal come home. Amen? Amen? But do you remember what he said? He said, you killed the fatted calf and threw a party for me, right? He said, son, you've been with me always. And you remember what he said? Everything that I have is yours.
Yes, amen.
So in our covenant with our God, it's not even half the kingdom. It's everything. You might say, well, now, hold, Pastor Rick, come on a minute. Well, what does the Bible say? We are joint heirs with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, meditate on that a moment when you think about this story and how it relates to us prophetically. Hallelujah. Now, going back to the story, through a unique series of events that I don't have time to explain today, and if you've never read the story of Esther and just prayerfully read it, you ought to. It will speak to you on every page. But Haman's plan was thwarted, and he was hanged. Interestingly, he was hanged on the gallows that he had built to take out Mordecai.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
The God loves to use the enemy's weapons against him.
Yeah.
Amen? But Esther approaches the king again. Okay, we got Haman out of the way. But how many of you know we got a problem? There has been a kingly decree, and it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it becomes eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, Esther approaches the king again. He again extends the scepter. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And she asked that the evil decrees that were written by Haman to destroy the Jews be revoked. Interestingly, the king said to her, get this, you write to the Jews as you see fit. See, and you know how God wants us to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Amen.
God, our involvement. He said, you write as you see fit. She wrote the decree, but it was in the king's name. And then he sealed it with his signet ring. And so anybody who saw that decree, a decree is written and then it's proclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was written, he sealed it with his signet ring. How many know that's as good as the king doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Nobody had to know that Esther wrote it because the king's signet was on. He gave his approval for it and unto it. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
Very powerful. And so with that was happened. They sealed it with the king and revoked Haman's evil decree. So Esther writes that decree,
And these creeds were sent out by courier throughout the land. And these couriers were also called criers. Not boohooing, but crying out. For they would stand with the decree and they would proclaim it, kind of like in the town square. Mm-hmm. They would proclaim it throughout the land, declaring this decree that would protect the Jewish people and grant them favor. And so with great joy, this good news, y'all getting where I'm going here?
Yeah.
This good news was proclaimed throughout the land. And can I tell you today, hear me, the Lord has extended his scepter to us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. That we may come boldly, what? To the throne of grace. We don't have to come, oh my God, I don't know if I can go to God's throne today. It might not be grace today. It might be the throne of judgment. No, it's the throne of grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There'll be a day it'll be the throne of judgment. But hallelujah, we're in the days of grace right now. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And so the point is that we too can decree a thing.
Yes.
Y'all get where I'm going? It's important. God wants you to be involved in this transaction, so to speak. Go with me over to Job 22, verse 26.
For then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. Wow, that's where we went and worshiped today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You will pray to him and he will what? He will hear you and he will ignore you. No. He will hear you and you will pay your vows. Amen? You will also what? Let's say it out loud. Decree a thing and it will be what? Established for you. And get this, light will shine on your way. That's the blessing of the kingdom upon that which you have decreed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now remember this. Jesus is what? The apostle and the high priest of our confession. It's very important. See, it wasn't enough for Esther to write the decree. It's not enough for you to own a Bible and even read the Bible. Would you agree with me? The Bible is the established, written, logos, word of God. But see, it becomes rhema when you speak it. Amen? And it comes alive when you speak it. Hallelujah. It's important for us to understand that. It's good to write your decrees. It's good to extend your faith for something. But it's even better when you declare your decrees. Hallelujah. And you hold fast to them until the battle is won. See, just because the king decrees something and puts a signet on it and God seals something that you're believing for, that you back up with the covenant, there could be a battle because the enemy himself is an outlaw spirit.
Right.
Is he not? He's a thief.
Right.
He's a liar. He didn't do anything fairly.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And so you got to understand that. So you have to be able to hold fast to it.
Yes.
That's what it says. Hold fast to your confession without wavering.
Amen.
Amen.
Get to the finish line, amen? Because the enemy will ultimately be taken out.
That's right.
Because the king is going to get what he decreed. Hallelujah. And if you decreed it as a child of God and is backed by the word of God, then I got news for you. It's as good as Jesus decreed.
Amen.
In fact, he said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven and the holy angels.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this is important for us to grasp this. Again, the Lord has extended his scepter to us. And I believe God wants to give some of us some more courage and some endurance to get to the finish line. Amen? Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He doesn't start things he doesn't intend to finish.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on now. Go with me to Psalm 110. This is a very prophetic psalm of the Father and the Son sitting at the Father's right hand. And I want you to notice this. It's so powerful. Verse 1, the Lord says to my Lord, what does it say? Sit at my right hand. Now, who do you think that is? Amen. That's the Father saying to his Son, until I make what? Your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, everybody look at me, body of Christ. Guess who his feet are? We are. Amen? Amen? He's not got any enemies up in heaven that he's got to pounce on. This is the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. Amen? You with me? Now look what he says. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, notice this, rule in the midst of your enemies. Say that with me. Come on. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of the enemy is not impressed if I rule in Rick Bennett's bravado? Enemy be like,
yeah.
Right? Because it's not about my bravado or my gifting. It's about the king that backs me. Amen?
Amen?
Rule in the midst of your enemies. And I love the verse 3. Your people will what?
Volunteer.
Volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. Now, I love the volunteering part. The rest of the verse, I kind of go, huh? Anybody with me? I kind of read that and I go, and I never looked at it in the Passion Translation. I want to read verse 3 to you. Listen to this. Listen to this. Your people will be your love offerings. And in the day of your mighty power, you will be exalted. And in the brightness of your holy ones, you will shine as an army, arising from the womb of the dawn, anointed with the dew of your youth. Anybody my age or older ought to be shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He, what does it say in Psalm 103? He will renew our youthfulness as the eagle.
Yeah.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He extends the scepter of grace and authority. Please get this today. Yes, I believe in grace. And without grace, nothing else works. But it's grace and authority. That's why a scepter? He can say, come on in. I won't kill you. Mm-hmm. You can approach me. But there's an authority when the scepter is extended. Do you see that? Rule! Rule in my stead in the midst of the enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Volunteer freely. I think about Isaiah. Remember what he said? I mean, the guy had just gotten through repenting for having unclean lips and everybody he represented having unclean lips. And then the seraphim flew over, you remember? And he took a burning coal from the altar and cleansed Isaiah's lips, meaning his words, how he speaks and how he talks. And I believe that was a cleansing, obviously deeper than just the physical lips. It spoke of what's in his heart.
Yeah.
And then the Lord starts to have a conversation. You know, the Trinity loves to have a conversation. Have you noticed that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that in the Bible?
Yeah.
Let us make man in our, So we see that happen. And then, but he starts to say, well, who will go for us? Who will we send? And here's Elijah, who just received grace. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Who just received grace, Elijah goes, here am I, Lord, send me. And of course the enemy would go, that guy just got through repenting.
Yeah.
And that's the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise His holy name.
Amen.
The challenge is, will we offer our lives? Will we make that offering as a free will offering, as a living sacrifice? Let's go to that verse in Romans 12. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, notice that. How many of you glad for the mercies of God? I guarantee you, Esther was glad for the mercy of the king that day. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. By the mercies of God, to what? Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Notice it doesn't say your spiritual service of singing. Worship goes way beyond your song. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
It's our life.
Amen.
As an offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? How? Talk to me. By the renewing of your mind. Okay, what's the purpose in that? We'll read the verse. So that you, everybody say me.
Me.
You may what? Prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. God is so wanting to use us in this hour to prove His perfect will. That's why we have to know the will of God. Amen? Hello?
Amen.
But we have to, if we don't renew our minds to this, we can't do that. You can't be double-minded and prove the will of God, right? You can't prove the will of God if you're double-minded. We have to believe His word. How about this? We have to believe that Jesus really is the same with us today as He was yesterday.
Amen.
Amen. We have to really believe that. And He will always be the same.
Yeah.
Amen. He doesn't change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His kingdom doesn't change. His word will never change. Hallelujah. And He not only wants us to declare His word, He desires, hear my heart in this. Well, hear His heart. He desires not only that you declare it, but He wants and desires to confirm it with signs following.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't want to just be a loud mouth, but it's a demonstration that the Lord our God is with us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You still there?
Amen.
You know, can I tell you, this is for each one of us. It's not just for the local crusade evangelists or something. It's for each one of us to walk in. Look at verse 3. Very important. A lot of times we don't read this verse when we read those first two. But look at verse 3. Through the grace given to me. Everybody say the grace. There's the grace again. I say to what? Everyone among you. Everybody go, that's me? Okay, that's all of us. Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. But to think so as to have what?
Sound judgment.
Sound judgment. As God has allotted to each what?
A measure of faith.
A measure of faith. My good friend Phil Bickler, who pastors up in Long Island, who I got the privilege of traveling with for years and years, he and I would be flying back from Singapore or wherever, and we would sit on the plane, and we would talk about the Bible and talk about God, and I loved to pick his brain because he knew the Hebrew and Greek so well. He knew, and so I loved to present something I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, and then he would say, well, you know the meaning of that word, actually, and that was always... It was always great when I was right, but anyway. Everybody rise. But he was talking to me about faith. He said, really, when you understand faith and the way it's described in the Word of God, it's like a muscle. First of all, it has to be used, and it has to be exercised, and it has to be stretched. Because if that doesn't happen, what happens to unused muscles? What do we call it? Atrophy sets in, right? And that muscle will actually, it will actually lose. And your faith, if it's never engaged and activated and even being stretched, it won't grow. But everybody got a measure. Come on.
Amen.
I've heard people say to me, well, I don't have the faith you do. Well, you might not, but you got faith. Start stretching it. Start using it. Start exercising it. Amen? Amen? And I think sometimes we've used that as a cop-out. Well, I don't have the faith for that. You know, if you lift weights and you have a goal to bench press some incredible amount, you better start adding extra weight.
That's right.
And build up to it, or you'll never get there. You're not going to get there overnight.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to go down, somebody's going to lay hands on me, I'm going to have great faith. Nah. Come on, guys, we've done enough of that in the charismatic movement. Think we're going to get an instant impartation and everything else that somebody, you know, pressed through to get into, we're going to get into just with a tap on the forehead.
Right.
No, it's going to take this understanding. How are you saved? If some of you would question whether you had the kind of faith you need to have and what we're talking about today. Let me ask you this. How are you saved? By grace? Through faith, right? It's a free gift, but you still had to believe for it.
Yeah.
So if you're saved and born again, then guess what? You have faith.
Amen.
You have a measure of faith.
Yes.
And then we activate. Of course, our favorite verse is what? It's no longer I who live, for I was crucified with Christ. Now Christ lives through me, and this life that I now live in this fleshly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Do you think he would call us to do his works and even greater works and not give you a measure of faith? But he's given you a measure of faith. Hallelujah. Say, I have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't think I'd get excited about this message. I was so tired. I was so tired when I put my notes down last night. Here's the question. Are we living life by faith as a love offering to him?
Mm.
And I believe that two together is so key. Because, you know, faith, when you don't do it as a sacrifice and love, it can become kind of almost cocky. Hello? Y'all seen it, right? The kind of faith that's kind of brash and arrogant.
Yeah.
But a faith that is presented through the understanding that I am offering my very being as a love offering to him, that is a perfect balance to that. Jesus said in Mark 8, 35, he said, whoever wishes to save his life will what? Lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's. Very important. Because if you're living for his sake, then you're all about the gospel of the kingdom also. Amen? He will what? Save it. Listen to the Passion Translation on this one. If you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will continually experience true life. I mean, you know, there's life and then there's true life. Amen?
Amen?
And you were born to walk and operate in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom has to be our priority, our very life, and not the things of the world. Because how many of you know this world will suck you in and it'll drain you of all your time, of all your passion, of all your resources just to live another day? Hello?
Amen.
We even call what we do making a living.
Yeah.
And nobody's living.
Yeah.
The living is in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen?
And if we don't have an understanding of this, we'll find ourselves... Well, Jesus said, when he talked about, you know, not living for the kingdom and not for the things of this world, Many people misunderstand that, and they think, well, that means God just wants us to be poor and living hand to mouth and just barely getting by. Like, that would really bring glory to God? Are you kidding me? And like the necessities of the world, we don't need them. This is not true. It's not in the Bible. It's not what he's called us to. What he is saying, though, is to not be distracted by the pursuit of these things in the worldly realm. Amen? But seek what? First, the kingdom of God. Let's look at the passage. Let's go on and look there. Luke 12, 29. Did I give you that one? Luke 12, 29. This is Jesus speaking, okay? Do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. That's easy, right? That's easy when the bills are due. For all these things, what? The nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows you need these things. Please underline that in your Bible. Everybody with me? He's not calling you to live your life poor and wretched and naked and homeless. Hello? That's not what he's saying here. And the Father knows you need those things. But seek what? His kingdom, and these things
will be added to you.
Will be what? Added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father, I'm going to start calling you guys little flock. Really little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you and me
the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
And so it's what it's saying. He said the kingdom is where the riches are.
Amen.
And you're not going to go without. Amen?
No way.
That's not what it means to live as a sacrifice for him. We need to keep our eye and our heart on the kingdom and not on the temporal things. For a time such as this, and I believe that, I'm just going to be honest with you, I believe that's why it's so hard, in spite of everything that's been going on and all the division in our nation lately that breaks my heart wide open. I'm so grieved about the temperament of our land and the people of the land and the hatred and the vitriol. It just makes me want to vomit. I see it just like you do, but can I say something to you today? The blessing of America actually is still a very blessed nation. We live better than any nation on the planet. And the problem is that we get into is that can actually, the blessing can become a curse in a way.
Yeah.
Because then we just give ourselves to that.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? To living at a lifestyle or a standard.
Yeah.
And we miss out on the standard God's calling us to. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
For a time such as this, I believe the Lord intends to work a work in our days. Anybody agree with me for that?
Amen.
And I believe he wants to do something with this generation. Yes,
amen.
This generation.
Amen.
Which is why Ephesians says what? Redeem the time. Or make the most of the time. This is our time. Say that with me. This is
our time.
Again. This is our time. If you're on the planet and breathing, this is your time.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Until the day of the Lord comes. The Great Commission, our mission, has not changed. And that is this gospel of the kingdom to go to all creation. Amen? This gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said, would be preached as a witness. Now, what does that mean? That means in demonstration. Mm-hmm. When you witness to something, the reason that early disciples were called as witnesses is because they saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a demonstration to all nations. And what? Then the end shall come. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, we must get our priorities in order. Kingdom first. Why? Because there's a harvest to get. Are y'all with me? There's a harvest to get. There's a grand harvest to get. And that's why I want a bigger barn. Because this don't show a lot of faith right here. Being honest with you, it's not about buildings and putting my name on one of them or something. It's about a place to receive the harvest that God has for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Go with me to Galatians 6. I believe, boy, this verse here really challenged me. It always challenges me, but it really challenged me many years ago when I started to realize how much I sowed of my life into something that wasn't going to last. It really challenged me. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap what?
Corruption.
But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Amen? For in say it with me. Due time we will reap. There's a time. Amen? To sow and there's a time to reap. If we do not grow weary or if we don't faint or quit.
How many know we need to get rid of the spirit of quit? Anybody ever get attacked with that one?
Oh, yeah.
My hand's up.
Yep.
Amen? Spirit of quit.
Yep.
I don't mean quit loving God or believing in God. Just kind of quit like, well, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I believe much of our weariness and our tiredness is from sowing so much and investing so much into that which is corruptible.
Yeah.
And we kind of look back and we go, man, I don't get any life out of that. Or if you do, it's a very temporary, superficial reward that doesn't last or truly satisfy. Will we all agree?
Yes.
Amen. It doesn't satisfy the longing of the heart. The longing of the heart is a release of that kingdom that is within you in a relationship of intimacy with the King. Deep inside the heart of every believer is the desire to see and enter the kingdom of God. I believe that. To know God. To be a witness of His power and love. To function in the supernatural kingdom. It's in you. It's in you. Can I just say to you, if you're born again, it's your spiritual DNA.
Amen.
Because what did Jesus say? He who believes in me. He didn't say my apostles will do these works. He said he who believes in me. So when you believed in him, you took on, you partook of his divine nature. Amen? You became a partaker. His DNA is in the new created you.
Amen.
The new creation you on the inside of you. So there's a desire in you to see the kingdom come where? On earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. It's part of that. And sometimes I have to stir myself up about it because I begin to think, well, I'm not satisfied with what I see. But there's a, how many know that's a two-sided coin, the same coin? You can be not satisfied, which means you long and press in for more, or you can become frustrated and just throw your hands up. Hello? So let us humble ourselves before the Lord. I just encourage you in this. I believe in this season especially, take inventory of what realm you're sowing your life into.
Yeah.
What I mean by that, guys, is your time, your resources, your passion. What are you sowing your life into? We have to ask ourselves that. All of us do. Even guys in full-time ministry. As we approach the day of the Lord, we read in Revelation. So I want to kind of close with this thought, kind of. You like it when I say kind of close? As we approach the day of the Lord, we read in the book of Revelation that the Son of Man, interestingly, is sitting on a cloud. And he has two sickles. Now, one is called the first sickle and then the second sickle. Now, the second sickle is the sickle of judgment upon the earth, okay? It's the sickle of his wrath. But the first sickle is the sickle of a worldwide harvest of souls. In fact, the angel, it says, this is in Revelation 14, the angel came out of the temple crying out with a loud voice saying, put in your sickle and reap. I'm trying to think, I don't know if I'd want to be the angel to go tell the Son of Man to do this, but anyway. Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Amen. But guys, can I tell you, we've got to be getting closer to it, because it's never happened, but it's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Before the wrath, before the judgment, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's an amazing working together. Now, I'm not trying to get spooky weird on you. Everybody okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Not trying to get weird on you, but you've got to understand something. We are to be synchronized with the heavenly host.
Yes.
We don't worship angels. If I never actually saw one, it doesn't change the fact that they're here. They're here right now. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Very important. Hebrews says this about the angels, that they are ministering spirits who are sent out for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. So they work with us in the harvest. Are you seeing that?
Amen.
It also says, do you remember when John tried to worship the angel in Revelation 19, the angel said, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am a fellow servant of you and your brethren who hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Worship God. But the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
So when you and I declare the word of the Lord, the angels are co-laboring with us.
Amen.
I know I've said this to many of you that hear me preach a lot, but it's like the church, the body on the earth, is like the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're the Marines, the army of God, but there's an Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Right.
There's an Air Force. It's a mighty host in heaven.
Yeah.
It's an angelic army. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Are we okay? I'm not going new age on you. Amen? This is old age. His testimony, think about this, is a prophetic word for such a time as this. Hallelujah. It's our time. And we need to declare it boldly. In fact, in Psalm 103, it says this, that the angels are created in might and power and strength, and they carry out and they perform the voice of the word. Well, who gives it voice? They don't come to my house and find my Bible and open it and get their instructions. It's the voice of the word in my life, in my ministry, in your life, in your ministry, in our families, and in every situation. It's the voice of the word that brings angelic activity to bear.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. That's right.
All right. Y'all still there?
Amen.
It is clear that there is an army of God on the earth. Who are we? The bondservants of God, the body of Christ. Would you agree? But there is a heavenly host. Hallelujah. Think about this. He is the Lord of your life individually. Amen?
Amen.
He is the Lord of his church. Agreed?
Amen.
He is the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
The angels. And guess what? He is the Lord of the harvest. And they're all synchronized together. Should be. Synchronized together. That's why an angel could come out and say, Son of man, put in the sickle. Guys, I don't know when that's going to be released, but I just sense in my heart it's near. And I think we need to already be about sickling. Amen. Harvesting, getting ready for what God wants to do and preparing ourselves for that. Do y'all receive that?
Amen.
So here's what I exhort you. Volunteer freely. Because I declare to you today, this is the day of His power.
Amen.
Amen. So volunteer freely. Let's ask the Lord to put in the sickle. Interesting, that word, thrust the sickle. In the Greek, for the word where he said, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, that for send out, it means to thrust. Isn't that interesting? So there's a connection between the thrusting of the sickle in the spirit realm and the thrusting of the laborers. Hello? Because angels don't even preach the gospel. Right?
Amen.
But see, they work with us. Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Or is that, did that get too weird on you?
No.
Not trying to go wonky. I just want you to understand the way. And then we can understand why from his heavenly place he extends a scepter. But most Christians kind of like, they appreciate the grace part and they kind of duck. But they don't touch the scepter like Esther did. When Esther touches the scepter, he says, what do you want? You can have up to half my kingdom. Well, God says, what do you want? You can have it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we got to enlarge our hearts, enlarge ourselves, and prepare for harvest. Even though we've been seeing apostasy and falling away, can I tell you guys, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached until the end.
That's right.
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I mean, it's not for us to debate about that. Our assignment does not change until the day of the Lord comes. Would we agree?
That's right.
And that's when the bridegroom comes for us. Hallelujah. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Are we activating and thereby enlarging our measure? I want to really encourage you. If you feel like I've not been faithful with my measure of faith, well, just start being faithful with it. Amen? Start stepping out and trusting God. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, we don't seek first the kingdom. I need to share this with you now. Instead, even my ministers and my ministries put confidence in the wisdom of man, the resources of man, the economy of man, and the government of man. I mean, when we do that, we're actually putting our confidence and we're leaning on a much inferior dominion.
That's right.
Because the dominion we should be seeking is His dominion. And it's the highest of all authority in heaven, on earth, under the earth. So when we trust in it, and so if something disappoints us in the government of man or the wisdom of man, what happens is we can fall apart. I love to have favor in all realms, but my trust and my confidence isn't based upon, because see, this gospel will work in any country. In fact, the greatest harvest that's going on right now is in places where they are very, the government of man in those countries is very communistic, socialistic, and Marxist.
Yeah, like I remember.
And they're very much against the gospel and the church and yet the church is flourishing.
Hallelujah.
Now, I would rather be in a country where there was favor. I don't want to have to go underground.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
But my point is, we have a higher kingdom. And that's being proven. Did you know Iran is a place?
Yeah.
Iran is a place where there's a great harvest right now.
Yeah.
And the church is totally underground.
Yeah.
And get this, 60% of those house churches are pastored by women.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a Muslim country.
Yeah.
China, we've known about the underground church in China,
yeah,
just exploding. Heavy persecution.
Yeah.
Heavy persecution. But they're exploding. Amen?
Amen.
So guys, we got to keep our, understand the realm and authority. None of this can separate us from the love of God, and it can't separate you from the kingdom of God either.
Amen.
God doesn't go, oh, pull my scepter back. No, he extends it.
That's right.
And I believe it stays extended,
yes,
to whoever will come and touch it.
That's right.
Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, whew. There will be another great awakening in America. I believe that. And there will be a subsequent harvest because of it, because I believe America will once again be a sending nation. I've talked to you all about that. Like never before. I believe we're going to see that restored. But here's what the Spirit spoke to me last night. This does not mean that America as a nation will be Christian and it'll be a walk in the park.
No way.
Because have you noticed the darkness has come and is covering the people and there's a great divide? And what does it say, though? When the darkness covers the earth and deep darkness is on the people, the glory of the Lord will shine upon you and me. Amen?
Amen.
And actually, it'll be more noticeable because of the great darkness. I don't want it. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. But what I am saying, it doesn't change our mission and our assignment. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
It's not the gospel of America. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Hello?
Yes.
Many in this nation and among this generation are prodigals who need to come home. How much y'all agree?
Yeah.
They're all over the landscape. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Prodigals that are out there. They need to come home. They need to know Father is looking for them to come home.
Yes.
But many, let's be honest, have never heard the true gospel either. They certainly haven't seen it with demonstration in the spirit and power of God.
Right.
What many have heard, now many haven't heard it all. And many have heard a religious Jesus. And how you know they weren't interested. Are you with me?
That's right.
But I'll tell you, I believe with all of my heart, when they experience the reality of the kingdom of God, when they see the power and glory of God, they will be saved. I believe that.
Yeah.
We're not going to get to men's hearts through their minds. We're going to get to their hearts through their
That's
hearts.
Right.
Amen?
Right. That's right.
And it's an encounter with the reality of God. He is still the desire of nations.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And this great harvest is going to be because we volunteer freely. It's not because we sit on the sidelines and go, well, the angels do that. No, no, no. Synchronization. Everybody say synchronization. It's not about, you know, us, well, I'm just going to send an angel. No, it doesn't work that way. He has an angel army that works with us.
Right.
But we have to, with confidence, fully preach the gospel. Here's what Paul said would happen. I love this. Those who know nothing about him will clearly see him. And those who have not heard will understand. Anybody ready for that?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Then we too have to fully preach the gospel, fully witness of the gospel in every situation. I want to encourage you, don't miss the opportunities. We have four Tuesdays in May. We're going to gather together for some equipping and training on this very thing, that for all of us to have new confidence to minister. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? So don't miss out on these Tuesday nights. If you have not already signed up and you're interested, let me know, okay? Also, for those of you back east, there's a Zoom group of this that's going to meet, and you need to call me or contact me so I can get those times to you, those of you in the Memphis area. Well, anywhere back east. But it'll be on your time zone. So anyway, this is where we get the abundant life. This is where we get the more joy. Amen? Remember, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner converting than over 99 righteous people gathering together. Doesn't mean he doesn't have joy in us. He loves us. He's in the midst of us. But what brings the more joy, amen, is when people are converted and come into the kingdom of God. So I don't know about you, but how many want that more joy? I do. I really want to experience that more joy, and I have. And there's nothing like it. And could it be when we feel like our love, our joy quotient is kind of low, is because we're not seeing it.
That's right.
But we're going to see it. I declare it in Jesus' name. Come on, hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want to be afraid to give myself as a bondservant. I don't want to be afraid to do that. And I want to encourage you. You really know life. So volunteer freely. The scepter is extended. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody say it. Grace.
Grace.
And authority. Again,
authority.
Grace and authority.
Authority.
Let's take hold of that sickle. Let's be filled. Man, every time you get an opportunity to gather, to pray, to worship in a secret place, wherever it is, ask for an infilling. Ask for the greater power to come upon you. Amen? Ask for a fresh baptism with the Holy Spirit so that we can move in the power of God. Because, see, there's a conviction that can't come because I am eloquent with my message of salvation. Conviction comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen? If I try to convict somebody, they walk away condemned, mad, offended.
Yeah.
I'll never see them again. But if the Holy Spirit convicts them, how many of you know? They're ready. They're ready to receive. Hallelujah. You receive that? Okay, one last passage. I told you I was kind of ending. I want to go on and share this because I feel like I need to stay in the flow of this. And then we're going to pray. Look, you're very familiar with it. John 14, 12. What did Jesus say? Truly, truly. Everybody say it. Truly, truly.
Truly.
You got to get this. This is real. Verily, verily, if you're a King James person. Verily, verily. I say to you, he who believes in me, say, that's me. Are we all believers in the room?
Yes.
Wait at me.
Amen.
Believers, okay. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Very important. I'm convinced the greater works is souls being saved.
Absolutely.
Because what did Jesus do when he went to the Father? He's now ever forever lives to intercede. He's interceding. And in that place when he's interceding and we have the host of heaven and we're in synchronization and we're reaching out in harvest with the sickle applied, guess what? Souls are saved. More joy is in heaven. We receive the more joy and we enter into that. So it doesn't mean we don't do the other works. Bringing healing and deliverance to people, that's the works. The greater works is moving beyond that. That's souls being saved and prodigals being restored. I'm convinced of that. But look what he says next. Please get this. And I want you to think, when I read it, I want you to think about Esther and what the king said to her. Everybody got that? Look what Jesus said to us. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me
anything
in my name, I might. What's it say? Talk to me. I will do it. Hallelujah. That'll get you praying. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Let's ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask. Let's ask for a great harvest. Amen. Let's ask that the Lord would send us forth, that he would thrust us out into his harvest. Amen.
Amen.
Let's ask him for that. Because I know that's the will of God. I don't even have to study that out. I know it's the will of God for men to be saved. That's why Jesus died. That's the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. And we know harvest is most definitely the will of God. The main difference, and I promise, this always gives you great hope that I'll be ready to close my iPad when I hold it. See, I'm learning. The main difference between us, last thing the Holy Spirit spoke to me, the main difference between us and the story of Esther is we have actually been summoned to draw near. Esther went on her own initiative and took a chance. Amen? Yep, she bathed in prayer, but she took a chance. We have been told to come bold.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Grace says come. The spirit of the bride say come. It's very important we understand that. We have been summoned. So we'll volunteer freely and offer our lives as a free will offering. We read in Mark 3 where Jesus, he called his 12. And he said he summoned them to come and be with him up on the mountain. And then it says, so that they could be with him. And then it says, so that he could send them out. I need to study and see if that's the same send as thrust. It might be. I'll study that out. This is in Mark 3. No, 13. 13 or 3. That he may send them out. Now get this. That they may preach. And get this, and have authority to heal and cast out demons. Hallelujah. But you know what? We've got to answer our summons. Amen. You've got to answer the summons and be willing to say, you know, Lord, all I can give you is myself. But I will give you myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Would you lift your countenance to the Father? Would you lift your countenance to the Son? Hallelujah. Open your heart to Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, today we come before you and we thank you. You have been ministering to us from the opening moments of this gathering today. And we pray and stand before you this day, Lord, and we just declare, here am I, Lord. Send me. Come on, say that.
Here am I, Lord.
Send me. Use me.
Use me, Lord.
Let my life be a free will offering of love unto you. A living sacrifice for your glory.
Help me today
to be renewed in my mind and in the spirit of my mind, that I might be transformed for a time such as this. That we may prove your good and your acceptable and your perfect will unto every person in every place for a time such as this. O Lord, touch this generation. Touch us mightily for your glory. And may the Lamb slain, come on, pray with me. May the Lamb slain receive the rewards of his sufferings. The souls of the nations. We pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up and worship the Lord right now. Just respond to God right now. I take authority today over fear. I take authority today over timidity. If that's you right now, come on, just receive the love of God. I take authority over timidity and fear in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the Lord to release a great grace upon you and a courage upon you to turn away from corruptible things and to place the kingdom as number one priority in all of your life. Anybody want that? Come on, just say, Lord, let that be me. Come on, just respond. Say amen to it. Hallelujah. Oh, God, a great grace. We admit, Lord, we're weak. We can't do this in our own abilities. Oh, but we know and believe the scepter is extended. I want you, as a prophetic action, reach up and take the scepter. Come on, reach up and touch it right now. Say it again, here am I, Lord. And the Lord says to you today, what would you ask of me? What would you ask of me? What would you ask of me, my beloved? For I'll give you the whole kingdom. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Ask of me and I'll give you the nation, says the Lord.
Yes.
Will you ask of me, says the Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father, release a passion in our hearts for the lost, the hurting, the prodigal, the bound, the afflicted, the prisoner, the sick, the lame, the lepers, the outcast, Lord. Give us a passionate heart for them, Lord. To not just prop them up and hand them resources only, but, oh, Lord God, to be able to say, what I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk in the newness of life. Help us all to see that, Lord. Transform us by changing the way we even approach our job, our time at school, at work, and at play, at home, in our neighborhoods, whatever it may be. Lord, we pray, so transform us that we look at everything as an opportunity. Would you reach out again and take hold of a sickle like a prophetic gesture? Lord Jesus, we know that there's a time coming when you will and I feel like the Lord's saying, you need to get comfortable as a harvester. You need to get comfortable as a soul winner. Amen? You need to get comfortable as that man or woman who can release the healing of Jesus to someone, who can tell a devil, get out! In Jesus' name, and they go. Amen? If you want that right now, just grab it. Grab it, grab it. Say, Lord, that's me. I want to be used by you in every aspect of the works of Jesus and greater works for your glory, Lord. Because there's an inertia when the Son of Man puts the sickle in. There's an inertia when the angels of salvation are sent forth. And as they synchronize with us,
there will be great harvest, says the Lord. There will be great harvest, says the Lord. Get ready. Enlarge your heart. Believe. Believe big. Woo. You receive that today? I'm not trying to wear you out. I'm really not. But I don't feel like we just shouldn't have said amen and walk out the door. Would you just worship for the Lord for a few minutes before we leave? Guys, just lead us in worship. If you need prayer, I'll be glad to lay hands on you, pray with you, believe with you. If you're struggling with something, with fear, timidity, or anything like that, just, if you would, though, it'll help me to know if you'll come to the front, because it's so crowded to try to go to the back of people coming and going. It's much easier for me to do that up here. So please, if you would, just come on down. I'll be glad to pray with you and for you. I love you. I really do. I love you. But most importantly, He loves you. Amen. Thanks for coming today. Good to see all of you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, my God.